Okay, so tonight we're going to look at, we're at the end of 2017, approaching 2018, so I've divided the message up in two parts, looking back and looking ahead. We'll talk about looking back, and then we'll talk about looking ahead. And I came to this question where I asked myself, is celebrating New Year's Eve, is that something that we do as Christians? Or is that something that we do as a people? Is it something that we do as a culture, as a society? Or is it spiritual? Now, the reason why I asked the question is because Christians celebrate New Year's Eve and non-Christians celebrate New Year's Eve as well. And then I thought up, I said, wait a minute, what about Christmas? Everybody celebrates Christmas. Christians celebrate Christmas. And other religious groups and non-religious groups also celebrate Christmas. And with the celebration of Christmas, there are certain nuances. There's the tree. There's Father Christmas, which is sadly now being called Santa Claus. If you're proudly South African, you'll still call him Father Christmas. And there's gifts. We buy gifts for each other. We wrap it up. Malls put decorations. There are all these nuances that come with the celebration of Christmas. But what's obviously observable is that Christmas is a celebration that is celebrated in and outside the church. However, with Christmas, it's really obvious. We are celebrating the birth of the founder of Christianity. So yes, it's spiritual. It's Christian. That one is obvious. So I asked myself, New Year's Eve, the celebration of New Year's Eve, is it spiritual or is it something that we do as society? Because just like Christmas, everybody celebrates New Year's Eve. And the kind of phrases that go with as soon as you get to the other side of New Year's Eve, the phrase that you will hear is, we made it. Have you ever said that or heard somebody say that? And it's appropriate. It's 2018, we made it. It's the idea that it's an achievement. We've come this far and we've made it. We've seen the new year. And I think the reason why we celebrate New Year's Eve is because as human beings, we've woken up to the reality that we are vulnerable to sickness and to death, and that we might not make the next year. And sadly, for some of us, there are people close to us and people close to us who have lost people close to us, who are not next to us, with us, celebrating the new year. So there's almost an appropriateness in making it into the new year, in celebrating New Year's Eve. There's something right and something healthy about celebrating New Year's Eve, recognizing that this is not my right. This is a privilege. And so what we do is we celebrate it. Here's my first point in looking back. To celebrate is to glorify. To celebrate is to glorify. If you think about a birthday, when we celebrate somebody's birthday, we lavish them with gifts, with kind words. We throw a party. If they're young, they have a jumping castle. They have cards. Sometimes you get money. If you're a little older and wealthier, you get a car. And you get a lot of attention. To celebrate is to glorify. And this is why I think it's appropriate for Christians to celebrate New Year's Eve. When you think about the Jewish calendar, before Jesus, the Israelites were, it's like they were almost in this cycle. Make sacrifices, celebrate. Live a bit, sin, come back, make sacrifices, celebrate. They had all these feasts throughout the whole year. They were constantly celebrating. I think the idea is that to celebrate is something that it originated in God and it was given to us by God, appropriately for our enjoyment and as a response to His goodness. So I think to celebrate is to glorify, and it's good to celebrate, and it's good to celebrate New Year's Eve. So the question is, what are we glorifying as we walk into 2018, as you celebrate the new year? And if you think about your friends who had the luxury and the privilege of going away and maybe not being in a church context and celebrating perhaps on a beach or away at a house party or whatever the occasion might be, whatever the norm is, or maybe in other contexts and places, what are you glorifying in your celebrating? Is it we made it? Is it an achievement? Or is it something else? And here's my only point for the first half of the service and looking back. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Did you know that the Israelites had a thank offering? Like, you would have to go and kill an animal, take it to a certain place, give it to a certain person who would perform a certain ritual, and that thing is called a thank offering, among many other different kinds of offerings. I think the point I'm trying to bring across is that thankfulness was a big deal. And as we look back at 2017 and we look back at 2016 and you look back at your whole life, as far back as what it stretches, the most appropriate response a Christian can have is thankfulness. And my encouragement to you tonight, as we look back at 2017 and 2016 and all the years that came before, let's be deliberate about being specific and intentional about gratitude, about thankfulness. Thankfulness, I don't know if you've ever met a thankful person who complains. They almost never go together. I don't know if you've ever met a grumpy person who's thankful. Almost never go together. I don't know if you've ever met somebody who's just negative, down, and also very thankful. Or somebody who's arrogant and prideful and also very thankful. They completely contradict each other. And I think this is why. Thankfulness is a response, isn't it? If you think about it, one is thankful for that which you are thankful for. Thankfulness is not something that exists in and of itself. In other words, thankfulness requires a healthy, vibrant, living relationship with Jesus for it to exist. And so when, as we look back at our 2017 and as our 2016, reflect on the goodness of the Lord and realize that you have many reasons to be thankful. And like the Israelites, let's not let it be something that's general, something that's specific. In other words, let's not downplay or belittle or quickly run through by means of religious routine this idea of thankfulness. Make it a culture. Make it a celebration. Make it a thing to be thankful and call it out. Call it out. Be specific about what you want to be thankful for. God, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my daughter. I'm thankful that I have a car. I'm thankful for my health. I was in Sandton City with my family the other day, and I saw somebody that had been burnt really badly. Now, I'm a little rough on the outside, but I'm softer on the inside. And I got overcome with emotions. I was extremely emotional. In fact, I left my wife straight away, and she knows that I'm a little bit like this. And so she said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going to pray." And she could already see the tears coming down my face. And what I went to go and pray about was just, for who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? There is no reason why I should not be the person that I saw at Sandton City. I did not earn it. I did not deserve it. That person did not earn it. That person did not deserve it. But here I am, 31, 90 kgs, can bench press 120, run fast, play soccer, think clearly, and I take it for granted every single day. And I'm one accident away from many of those common graces being taken away from me. And I just had to pause and stop. And so I went all the way to the top of Sandton City, top parking lot. There was nobody there, and I was crying like a baby. And I was just overcome with thankfulness. And I just spent a season. And I asked myself, and I said, be specific about what you want to be thankful for. And I thank God for the smallest, silliest things that we just generally take for granted, that 80% of human beings have and enjoy for 80 years. And just thank God for that. So I hope you're really receiving this idea that to be thankful is a response to the goodness of God. Celebrate yesterday and glorify God in being thankful as we look back. Now, looking ahead, 2018. It's on our doorstep. I mentioned that Christmas comes with nuances. New Year's Eve also comes with nuances, doesn't it? And some of those nuances are reset. The idea of a fresh start, something new, blank page, clean slate. It's new. It's New Year's Eve. And so, rightly, what a lot of us do, and I'm going to try to redeem this tonight, is we have New Year's resolutions. But what's happened over time is people set out a lot of New Year's resolutions, and often they really are great. Often New Year's resolutions are focused around self-improvement or goals or achievements or things that you want to do and things that you don't want to do. And January ends and we're doing well, and February ends and we're doing well, March comes and we're not doing so well, and by April your New Year's resolution's already gone out of the window. And so that happens 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and then by the time we are in our 30s, New Year's resolutions is something we talk about. We don't really do it, we don't really commit to it, we don't really stick to it, because we know, okay, this is like something that people talk about, they make movies about it, New Year's resolution, but nobody really does it and nobody follows through with it. I want to try to redeem that. I hope that by the end of this message, you would be encouraged to have a New Year's resolution going into 2018. And let me try to do that in the next few minutes. I think the idea and the concept, the notion of new, is a God idea. It's a God notion. So if you think about it, if we could do a study of new throughout the Bible, the Bible talks about the old covenant and the new covenant. Very interestingly, if you've read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will know that the author in Ecclesiastes says that there is nothing new under the sun. Now, you would read that and say, okay, so maybe the Bible is outdated or the Bible is untrue, because there are new things under the sun, okay? There's the iPhone, that's new. There's the BMW, that's new. So if Solomon was here, would Solomon still write, there is nothing new under the sun? And he writes it very arrogantly. He writes it like, I have seen and studied and observed everything that is done under the sun. And I'm writing with the authority that I'm the wisest person under the sun. And this is the conclusion of the matter. There is nothing new under the sun. That's what Solomon said. I don't think he was talking about innovation like an iPhone or like a BMW. I think what Solomon would respond is to say, okay, you guys have iPhones. We had messengers. There was communication now. There's communication then. You guys have BMWs. We had horses. There was transport then, there is transport now. There's nothing new under the sun. Fast forward the clock. Jesus entered into history. There was something new under the sun. For the first time in human history, there was something new under the sun. God speaks at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelations, about creating a new heaven and a new earth. Paul writes in his epistles to put off the old and to put on the new. I don't want to use too many examples. I think you get the point. The idea and the notion of new, it's a God thing. It's a Christian thing. It's a good thing to think about new as we approach New Year's Eve, where we reset the year and we get to start over. Here's the question I want to ask. Here's something beautiful I want to ask you to think about. I think Jesus is asking us tonight, what's going to be new? I think Jesus is asking us tonight, what's going to be new? So what do I mean? There's nothing new under the sun. Yes, but what's going to be new? Often when we think about New Year's resolutions, it's focused on what we want to do. It's not focused on who we want to be. And here's my idea. Our best chance of a better tomorrow, our best chance of a new tomorrow, is a new, better you. That is our best chance of a better 2018. Nobody sitting in this church tonight wants the same 2017. Even if you had an awesome 2017, if it was excellent and it was great, we all, it's natural, it's human, we hope for a better 2018. We're optimistic. We hope for a different 2018, for something better, for something more. And I'm saying your best hope at a new, different 2018 is a new, different you. And so I ask you, what's going to be new? What is your New Year's resolution that Solomon would say, that's new? What will that be for you? And I encourage you to think about that. I have one thing that I'm doing together with my wife, and I want to encourage you as you think about what could this one thing be. And I really would encourage you, think about one thing. One thing. Don't think about 10 things. It's not sustainable and you won't see it through. Think about one thing that you could do going into 2018 that would change your life forever. Something that adjusts and changes you permanently, that will adjust and change your life forever as you go into 2018. What's going to be new? I told my wife what I want to do, and knowing the human nature, I bought something physical which we're going to put in our house, like an ornament. And now, I'm not saying you should do this, but I want to tell you why I did it. The reason why I did it is not a Christian spiritual reason, but when you read through the Old Testament, especially when you go through the narrative of Israel's story, whenever God did something for Israel, He didn't only require them to write it down and document it. It's a fascinating observation if you think about it. He would always require some physical, tangible expression that would bring to memory what He had done, so that future generations would remember and learn and recall and recount what God did. And so I thought to myself, okay, I have a New Year's resolution, and I also want to bring my wife into my New Year's resolution, and my New Year's resolution is something that I think Solomon would say, that's new. It wouldn't be something that Solomon would say, I have observed everything that is done under the sun, and there is nothing new under the sun. And so I've asked my wife to hold me accountable to my New Year's resolution, and to add onto that, I've also got a physical, beautiful ornament that we're going to have as the centerpiece in our lounge to remind me every single day, this is an aspect of my character in my family that I want to change, that I hope from 2018 onwards will never ever be the same again. I think if you think about what that could be for you, and if that could be true, what your story would be in 10 years' time from today when you look back, it would be a story that you would want to tell. It would be a moment in your life where you made a decision, where you took up a New Year's resolution, something cultural, flimsy, something that we just do. We talk about New Year's resolutions, and you really changed your life forever. So, in looking back, let's be thankful. Think about what you can be thankful for. And be specific and make an occasion out of it. Make a culture out of it. Celebrate God's goodness and be thankful. Let's not be Christians who just go through the motions and Christians who are generally thankful. Let's be Christians who respond as an overflow of a living relationship to God's goodness and to God's fingerprints in our everyday life as we look back. And as we approach 2018, looking ahead, what's going to be new? And I think Jesus is asking you that question with excitement. The Bible is filled with so much old, new, put off the old, put on the new. I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and don't put new wine in old wineskins. And the idea of new, it's there and it comes from God. It's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm encouraging and challenging you. Discuss it with your wife. Discuss it with a friend. Bring somebody in. Think about one thing, one New Year's resolution, just one, that you could do that would change who you are, not what you do, forever, moving forward. That Solomon would be able to say, that is new, as we go into 2018. Won't you pray with me? Father God, thank you. Thank you for your common grace. Your word teaches us that your mercies are new every morning. Every morning, your mercies are new. You don't copy and paste your mercy, but you apply it afresh every morning. And we are recipients of that, and we bask under your glory. Every single day, living under your provision, under your care. Father, in 99% of your goodness and of your kindness and of your love that is directed at us, we don't even see. And so we pray, forgive us for this, Father, as we acknowledge that we are not as thankful as we ought to be, that we do not celebrate you as much as we ought to celebrate you for who you are to us. And Father, as we think about 2018, yes, Lord, it is a new year that has a lot that we do not know. And so we are thankful that you have brought us to this place, acknowledging that it is not an achievement and we did not make it into 2018, but it was your idea to preserve us according to your grace for your purpose that we would see 2018. And what a privilege it is, Father. For life is so short, it's so fleeting, yet it's so beautiful, and so it's so precious, and also so difficult and filled with so many challenges. And each of us, Father, without fail, I believe, are waging a war. We pray that you would draw near to us and be with us and help us through. Father, we do thank you and celebrate your loving kindness and ask that you would go with us as you have been with us in 2017, that you would go with us into 2018, and that you would not allow us, Father, as the song says, to wander, to be prone to wander and to stray. Give us grateful hearts, Father, hearts that truly respond to who you are. And I do pray, Father, that you would give us an excitement and an anticipation and a hope for 2018, that we would look forward to 2018 because you live, because you are. Yes, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.